glad to be here today? Yeah, come on, let's make some noise. You glad to be in the house today? Awesome. I want to say a big hello to all of our locations today, all of you who are in one of our physical rooms gathering with us, and then, of course, all of you who are joining us online. And if you are here for the first time at one of our locations, a big welcome to you. We're glad you're along for the ride today. It's been an amazing season already. I know some of us are freaking out that it's already Christmas, but it is upon us, and we are still celebrating, as you heard, Baptism Weekend and Compassion Weekend this weekend. Just been incredible, amazing. I heard yesterday that we had around 1,100 people here at our Newark location, just our Newark location alone, who came to be served, and just incredible. All that is leading into, as you know, Christmas at the Journey. December 22nd through the 24th, we have 14 in-person gatherings for you to choose from across our locations. And I do want you to notice, we'll talk a little bit more about this next weekend, but our Christmas Eve times are a little bit different than usual. So here at our broadcast location in Newark, we'll start Friday, but you can find all the times on our website. But we're gonna go a little bit earlier in the day than usual on Christmas Eve, so pay attention to that. And then I know all of you are, there are going to be two gatherings that everybody's like, I'm going to that one. Please spread out. We would love for you to spread out just a little bit, especially to some of those earlier times during the weekend. So it's going to be great. And then before that, you heard me talk a little bit about this if you were here last weekend, but our Christmas offering is coming up next weekend, December 16th and 17th. And if you are new to the Journey, every year we have an opportunity to give above and beyond our regular giving to bring the hope of Jesus to more people. I'm going to talk a little bit about that at the end of the message today. And here's what I want you to know, especially if you're new to all of this, new to the church thing, maybe still trying to figure all that out. I want you to know, first, we're not going to ask you to give any money publicly this weekend or next weekend. We're not going to pass anything around the room or take a collection, or you don't have to like guard your wallet, like everything's okay, all right? But the other thing I want you to know is, again, if you're not sure what you believe about God, I actually think our Christmas offering could be one of the most meaningful things you hear about here. Not because there's any expectation or pressure for you to participate, but because I think it reveals very clearly the heart of our church. And more than that, the heart of God. So everything we give in our Christmas offering does not go to pay our week-to-week bills. It's all about reaching more people throughout our region, and I just think it reveals the heart of God, that God loves you so much that he gave. That's how he demonstrated his love. He gave his son Jesus so that you could have a rich, satisfying life with God. And I want you to know something about those of us who consider ourselves followers of Jesus, who would call ourselves Christians. First, we are not perfect, but second, we are not inherently generous. We are generous because we're getting to know someone who's inherently generous, and he's changing us. And what you need is why we give. That's the craziest thing. It's not for us, it's for you, because God has done so much for us. So I just think that it can really reveal the heart of God to you. And I'll tell you more about that in a few minutes. But first, I have a message as we kick off this Christmas series that I think can help you wherever you are spiritually. So wherever you land with spiritual things, wherever you are in your journey, I think this can help you. And let me kind of preface it. I wasn't going to say this all weekend, but I have been saying it, that I have a little bit of a reputation among our staff and leaders who've been a part of the Journey for a while that I don't like Christmas series. And so I want you to know I do like Christmas, and I am glad Jesus came. Before you email me, just to be clear, but I have not always loved Christmas series, because it's kind of like, okay, it's Christmas. You're sort of boxed in. You know, it's like a Christmas series. What are we going to talk about this Christmas? And I say all that to say I'm excited about this Christmas series. So we're in good hands, you know. And don't worry, earlier years in the church, I have not led with not liking Christmas series. So just because I'm excited about this one, I wanted you to know that. And here's how I want to jump into the first message. One thing that I am learning in life, and it's a slow process, but I'm learning in my relationships, when it comes to my work as a leader and serving people and driving. It's also showing up in my driving. One of the things that I'm learning is the power of waiting a little bit before making a decision. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just, you know, taking some time, making some space, and before we do what we really want to do, just taking a breath and waiting a little bit. I tend to react quickly. Anybody else? Just show of hands. That wasn't fast enough. So I tend to react Very, very quickly. Those of you who are like me, you had your hand up before I even asked the question. But I am learning sometimes it's good to sleep on it. Anybody ever gotten that advice? You're maybe in a difficult situation and you really want to react, but someone who's wise tells you, I know you want to do what you want to do, when you want to do it, but maybe just sleep on it. Just give it some space. And it's fascinating to me that that is part of how this whole movement around the person of Jesus began, with somebody who had decided what to do, but before they acted, they gave it a little space and they slept on it. And while they were sleeping on it, the story of Christmas began. Here's what we read in the first book of the New Testament of the Bible, the very first chapter. A guy named Matthew writes, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. So we'll get to the sleep on it part in a moment. But first, Matthew says that what he's about to describe is how Jesus, the Messiah, the promised one, the rescuer, the one we've all been looking for, even if we don't realize we're looking for him, this is how he was born. And whatever you believe about Jesus, if you would agree at least that he is a significant figure in human history, then it's important that this is how he was born. Many of us are familiar with the part that his mother, Mary, plays in the story. She plays a very central role, of course. We'll talk a little bit about that during the Christmas message. But Matthew is actually focused on someone else. He's focused on this person named Joseph. And he writes, this is how Jesus was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, for some of us, this is where the Bible loses us. We read the words virgin and pregnant in the same sentence, and we go, I'm pretty sure that's not how that works. That's impossible. I don't think that can happen. That sounds like a story Mary made up to tell her worried parents. But I think that's impossible. And just so you take a deep breath, okay, relax, I'm with you. I'm not crazy. I do not think you could be a virgin and be pregnant. I think that is impossible. I don't believe that happens. I only believe it happened once. Because the only thing more powerful than my belief in how things work is my belief in a God who sometimes does things that don't make sense to our human minds. And so that's this situation. You ever experienced something in your life that didn't add up, didn't make sense, like had to be God? You kind of looked at it and go, man, I don't have another explanation. I remember when I moved here from Canada, I had been working on getting my green card, and I was about 2 years into the process when I found out. I was working with an immigration attorney, and she told me, and she was doing me a favor. She was like a friend of a friend, and she said, hey, there's been an issue at the immigration center where you submitted your paperwork. I know we're a long way into this, but I think your application has probably been lost, and you're going to need to start over. And I talked a little bit about this last weekend. I did not have a lot of money at the time, and I did not have more time or energy or dollars to invest in this process. So before I decided to start over, resubmit my application, I prayed. And I'll never forget where I was. I was traveling, and I was alone. I went into my hotel room and closed the door and clicked the little thing over that's like, don't come in here even if you can. You know, the whole privacy thing. You know that thing? Does anybody else always do that at night? Just admit it. You're like, I don't know who roams the halls of these hotel rooms. Okay, anyway, another message for another time. I was just seeing if you had fear, and we'll talk about that in another series. But so I clicked that over, and I do not want to be disturbed. I'm about to pray. We're going to pray now. I was fired up. And I started praying, and I prayed, God, you know where my application is. You know whose desk it's on, and I'm asking you, God, to intervene. And then I started getting really bold. I was like, God, you know exactly who has my application, and I'm asking you, oh God, that they would not enjoy their days off, that they would not have a good vacation, that they would not be able to sleep at night until they process my application. I'm just in this hotel room, you know, praying to God. And 2 weeks later, I got the notice in the mail to come for my green card appointment after 2 years and being told I needed to start over. And I really believed it was an answer to prayer. And I was so excited because I thought, this is an answer to prayer for me. Now, somewhere out there is an unnamed immigration official who's like, actually, God did not answer your prayer. I could not sleep at night. I was not enjoying my vacations. I was, and I'm okay, however it worked out. I just know God did something for me. And I was excited. God, you did something for me. But what I didn't understand at the time is that God actually didn't do that just for me, or even primarily for me. God had a bigger plan in mind. You. At least if you're glad I got to stay. You know, that was my assumption leading into that. And it sounded like from the response, at least 30% of you are. So I feel like that's good. For a Canadian, that's a win. So, but God had this bigger plan in mind that I didn't understand at the time. I was just like, God, thank you for doing something for me. And I think God kind of smiled. I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm glad you take it that way. But I actually have bigger plans for your life that have nothing to do with your bottom line and what's necessarily good for you in the moment. And I want you to know today that God has bigger plans for your life. And you say, oh no, well, I'm not a pastor or a preacher or somebody. I've never locked a hotel room door like that and prayed. You should try it, it's fun. But I'm telling you, God has plans for your life and they're bigger than you. Because this is how God works. This is how God works. And this is the biggest lesson I am learning in my spiritual journey by far. I forget this on average at least once a day. From God's perspective, what happens to me, around me, for me, and through me isn't primarily about me. And the problem is, many times, I want it to be about me. Anybody want it to be about you? You're like, God, I know there's 7 billion other people, but you and I know I'm the most important. If you could just do lots of good stuff for me, I hope the other people, you know, it'll work out, but for me, God. Come on, how many of us, just be honest? It's like sometimes that's the mindset we get into. No, how many of us would be honest and say, okay, there we go. My mom loves to put jigsaw puzzles together. Ever since I was a little kid, I remember every Christmas especially, we would get our jigsaw puzzle, and she's an expert at it. Look at the box, look at the puzzle, look at the box, look at the puzzle, look at the box, look at the puzzle. You know how many times in my life I have been putting the puzzle of my life together only to realize that God and I were looking at different box covers? It's not just about me. I'm like, oh, look at the life I am building for me. And God's going, actually, I was trying to write a bigger story than just you. So who are you engaged to? And you think the engagement is just about you or just about them or what a great thing it is for you, but it's actually about something bigger God is doing. Like, God's at work in that. Who do you work with? Who do you live next to? Who do you share a last name with? And maybe you think God put you at your job or in your neighborhood or in your family just for you, which explains why it's so frustrating when it doesn't seem to be paying off for you. But the truth is, God is writing a bigger story, and isn't that more exciting in the end? Could you be okay with that if God was working through your life to do something that wouldn't primarily be about you, but would be about others? Could you get excited about that? Because that's how Jesus was born. If we want to see God do more miraculous, amazing things in our lives, this is how it happens. When somebody says yes to something that won't necessarily benefit them in the short term. Mary's engaged to Joseph. And Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man. He was a good man. He was a pure man. He loved God. And he did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he, what's that word? Read it with me. Decided. He decided to break the engagement quietly. If you're new to the Bible, when this was written, being engaged was a really big deal, even bigger deal than it is now. So you did not break it casually. And Joseph, as a Jewish guy, probably in his late teens or early 20s at the time, he was likely very young, he had to be anxious about this. He didn't want to marry someone who was pregnant and he wasn't the dad. But he also didn't want to shame Mary either. He loved her and he was confused. And so he did what many of us would do. He took the cards he'd been dealt from his perspective and he made a decision. He decided to break things off quietly. I want you to notice that. He decided. He didn't ask God about it. He just reacted. And it's not that he was bad. I mean, he made what would appear to be a good decision. Can everybody agree? I mean, he's trying to take a difficult situation and make the most of it. But he just decided. Now, deciding's not wrong. I don't want to give you that impression. Some of us probably need to decide some things a little bit quicker than we usually do. You know who you are because you've tried to change lanes for a few minutes in front of me while I was driving. It's like, make a decision, man. I don't know if you're seeking God's will. Like, Lord, driving lane passing me? Or do I go 5 miles an hour under the speed limit in the driving lane? Is that your will? Let me answer that decisively for you. That is not God's will for your life. But making a decision is not bad. It's not like we need to seek the will of God in every single decision we make. I actually don't think that's good. I think some of us get stuck. God, it's breakfast. I cannot move without your will. Is it bagels? Is it oatmeal? I seek your will, Lord. I think we can make some decisions. But here's what I want to talk to you about today. What happens when we've decided but God isn't on board with our decision? I mean, it's not bad, no judgment. We looked at the situation, made a rational decision, and God says, oh, that's great. I'm just not on board with that. That's what happened to Joseph. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. So I want you to notice that Joseph made a decision, but he left a little space for God. He was still considering. He's like, okay, I've made a decision, but let me take some melatonin. Let me get a good night's sleep. God, I'm leaving some space for you. And while he was sleeping on it, an angel of the Lord, a messenger from God, appeared to him. This January, as we do every year, we'll experience 21 days of prayer and fasting together as a church. It's always a very powerful time. And I want to encourage you to begin kind of thinking about it, praying about it, making plans for it now. We'll connect every day for prayer together. Some of us will say no to things that we usually say yes to in order to say a bigger yes to God just for a season. And here's what God wants to do in our lives. It happens every year. Some of us have made some decisions. They're not bad, okay? We took the hand we were dealt and we made some decisions. But God wants to show up when we make some space for him, and he wants to invite us to reevaluate some of our decisions. Some of us have decided how committed we're gonna be, and God's like, hey, I'd like to actually speak into that. Or some of us have decided to end a relationship, and God shows up and says, I've got another path for you. And that's what's gonna happen. Some of us are in school right now, we're a student, and we've just kind of decided maybe that we're just gonna try to get through the year, and we'll always be lonely, or we'll always be ashamed, or we'll always be anxious, and God's gonna show up during 21 days and say, I actually have something different for you. I want you to reevaluate that decision. So Joseph, son of David, the angel said, I know you made a decision, but you actually made it out of fear. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Do not be afraid to marry this woman who is carrying a baby that isn't yours, at least in the conventional sense. Don't be afraid to marry this woman who's carrying a baby, but she insists she's still a virgin. Why wouldn't I be afraid? Because Joseph, this is God. God's at work through your life, doing something for the sake of something bigger than your life, for the sake of others. God says, Joseph, I know you decided what to do, but I've got something else in mind. I'm vetoing your decision. And here's the moment that Joseph finds himself in that I've found myself in so many times, torn. Will I do what I've decided or what the Lord has directed? How am I gonna live my life? Am I gonna do what God is directing me to do, or am I going to depend on my own understanding and just do what I've decided to do? And again, for some of us, maybe we've decided we will never have healthy relationships, and God is directing us to something more. We've almost made an agreement with the enemy of our faith that what he says about our lives is true, and we've decided to live in his version of our story. And God is saying, I want you to revisit that decision. I'm directing you into something bigger for your life. For some of us, maybe we've decided that stepping out in faith and taking a risk is for people who are more spiritual than us, but God is directing us to trust in him. Maybe we've decided we're just gonna get through this year at work by keeping our head down and our mouth shut, but the Lord is directing us to influence the people around us for him. Maybe we've decided that we're gonna stay in our addiction, but the Lord is directing us to get clean and experience the freedom he has for us. Will we do what we've decided or what the Lord has directed? And I love this next part. When Joseph woke up, which is what some of us need to do, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. God is working to do something bigger in and through your life than you realize. But you've got to wake up and do what he has commanded. And what God commanded Joseph to do, again, was not going to help Joseph in the short term. It was not gonna make his life less complicated, just the opposite. And for some of us, we hear a message like this, and we're like, oh yeah, man, I wanna wake up, that sounds good. I wanna do what the Lord has commanded. And then we realize what the Lord has commanded, and we're like, new plan. Joseph's life wasn't gonna get easier because he obeyed God. It was gonna get more difficult in the short term. That's why he had decided to take what he determined was the safest route. But thankfully, he still left some space for God. He left a little space to consider. And when he woke up, he did what the Lord had commanded because he realized this is how other people are going to be saved. Notice the angel did not say, Joseph, I mean, don't be afraid. Take Mary as your wife. The baby is going to be, treat him like he's your very own son because he's going to make your life better. No, the angel said, through him, many other people are going to be rescued. That's why God is inviting you to say yes. And here's the question for all of us who are followers of Jesus. And if you're not yet, I get that you may still be unsure about this, but for all of us who've said yes to Jesus, we gotta answer this question. It's important. Will we do what we've decided in any area of our lives or what the Lord has directed? You know, eventually, if Jesus isn't Lord of all, he isn't Lord at all. And it's a process. He's very patient with us. But what direction are we heading? More and more into his will. You know, before Susie and I, my wife and I started the journey, I had a plan for my life. At least I thought I did. It did not involve starting a church. It was not my plan. But God had this in mind. He actually showed Susie we were supposed to start a church before he showed me, which was not fair. It's like he knew she's more spiritual than I am. And I'll never forget the day. Susie looked at me. She said, when are we gonna start a church? And it had never come up before. I was like, never? I'm thinking never, but. And then God wouldn't leave me alone about it. It just became this nudge, this thing I could not get away from. And just so you know, it did not make our lives easier to start a church. But it was a nudge. So where is it in your life? Listen, you've decided, no judgment. Like the plan I had for my life was not like I'm gonna reject God, do the opposite of what he wants. I thought I had a good God-honoring plan. It just wasn't God's plan. Where is it in your life that you've decided how you're gonna live, who you're gonna become, how scared or discouraged or distracted or successful or rich or famous you plan to be? And the only problem is God has different plans. Some of us aren't even willing to run it by him. We're like, maybe if I don't mention it, maybe God will forget. Maybe you've even decided you don't believe in God anymore because of what you've been through. What if it doesn't matter because of how much he still believes in you? What if no matter how far and fast you run away from God, the moment you turn around, he's right there? Because you decided he didn't exist. But you can't just decide that. And what he has directed for your life is more than you can imagine. It's the question that ultimately defines our life. Will we just keep doing what we've decided or what the Lord has directed? I love what Jesus says about this. This verse has been messing with me for a couple of months now. Jesus said, we must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us. In other words, when we know what the Lord's directing us to do, then that is the time to act quickly. to not get stuck waiting for a better time, more convenient season. And I love that that's what we've been doing as a church. We've been serving people from outside our walls during Compassion Weekend, all weekend long. For many of you, it is not what you would have decided. I talked to some of you yesterday who were serving, and you were exhausted, but it was a good exhaustion. It is something, I don't quite understand it, but there's something about the tiredness you feel when you're doing something you were created to do that's just different from the tiredness you feel when you're doing something that doesn't matter. But it's not what you would have decided. You served because it was what the Lord directed. You just said yes. So all weekend, we've been giving away food to families in need and Christmas gifts to kids, coats, hats, and gloves, and blankets for the elderly, kind words, faith-filled prayers, haircuts, and vision tests. And we've been serving people all weekend long at all of our locations in every area that we can get into in Journey City, our region. It's making a difference because the Lord directed you to. It's a beautiful thing. And it's not just outward needs that are being met. During baptism weekend, so many people, as you heard, went public with their faith. Some of you in this room right now, in the rooms at our locations, you took this step. People who had struggled with worthlessness and despair, finding joy in Jesus. People who were invited here while grieving a loss. People battling addiction. People who were abused as a child. Kids and teenagers and 20-somethings and 30-somethings and moms and dads and grandparents. There was this one dad who just every couple of minutes would go get another one of his kids out of Journey Kids and bring them to be baptized. A family tree changing before our eyes. Why? Because we're just a church full of people doing what the Lord directs us to do. It's not what we decided. And there were people who were baptized who had been diagnosed with cancer. And they're trusting God that he has their life in his hands. People who said, I'm tired of waiting and being on the fence. I want to go all in. I want to follow Jesus. I'm the first person in my family to be a follower of Jesus. Because this is a place and a community full of people who just do what the Lord has directed. The only problem is you never really get to see many times the end of the story, right? So I thought I'd help a little. So I want to show you something. So you heard all the people who went public with their faith in baptism last weekend, but we went back a little bit to one of our first baptism weekends, 2009, and we took a little droplet of water to just indicate households in what we call Journey City, 30-mile radius around our broadcast location in Newark, households where people were baptized. We had a lot of their addresses, but they're all represented here. And then we said, okay, by the end of 2010, what did that look like? And 2011, and then 2012, and 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 2020, 21, 22, 23. That's how a region begins to be transformed. ...1,715 people baptized here in 14 years. 692 in the last 21 months. It's a move of God. And you didn't know it would happen, did you? When you served. When you gave. This is how Jesus was born. Somebody said yes. I don't understand it. You're asking a lot. It's not what I decided, but I will do what you've directed. And through our Christmas offering this year, we have a chance to do even more. Plant seeds of generosity for the sake of the circle of Journey City. Every dollar will go toward extending our reach throughout our region. We don't even know. There are some things I can't even tell you about yet. We're just praying about, and our board is praying about and talking about it. And here's what I want you to know. you don't have to do anything. I mean it. You don't have to do anything except sleep on it. It's all I'm asking you to do. If you're a part of this community of faith, pray, listen, and then sleep on it. And if God nudges you, do what the Lord has directed. Now, if he doesn't give you any direction, just do whatever you've decided. Bagel, oatmeal. Right lane, left lane. Just pick a lane. There's no pressure. There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes I ask God for direction, and he doesn't give me any specific direction. So I just decide in a way that's going to honor him. And that's okay. But if the Lord nudges you, just do what he has directed, because that is the story of Christmas. And listen, that is the story of this church. And if you zoom out from us, that is the story of the movement of Jesus all over the world. It always takes a good God and someone who says yes. And here's what I know, zooming out from the Christmas offering, there are two ways to live your life, two ways to go about your future. When it comes to anything you are facing right now, needing, considering, hoping for, frustrated by, desperate to see change in any relationship, any fear, any moment of opportunity, two ways to live your life. Will you do what you've decided or what the Lord has directed? Will you do what you've decided or what the Lord has directed? And if you're a follower of Jesus and you would say today, I receive that. I want to follow Jesus more fully. I think there may be some areas in my life that he wants to give me more direction, and I want to be open to that. I want to follow his leading in my life. Would you just lift your hand if that's you? All of our locations, hold it up high, boldly. If you're online right now, right where you are, if you can, just lift that hand up toward heaven. Let me pray it over us. Jesus, we're so glad you came. And that this is how you were born. Started with a miracle and somebody who chose to believe in it. And I pray for us. Father, I pray right now over your people. You love us more than we can imagine. Some of us came into one of our locations today just carrying a heavy weight. There's somebody right now is feeling this pressure they can't get out from under. God, you want us to live in your joy. But it might take a willingness to reevaluate some of our decisions. Give us the strength and the humility and the faith to trust you. And then Jesus, we pray for Journey City. We pray for our neighbors and co-workers and family members in this region who need you, and the people we've never met and will never meet who need you. And we say, work through our lives for the sake of others. In Jesus' name. While you let God speak to your heart for a moment more, listen, if you're in the room today, one of our locations, if you're watching online and you don't have a real relationship with God, yet maybe you have lived up until now just doing whatever you decided. And no judgment, it was all you knew. You took the hand you were dealt. And you've just been making decisions, but you didn't know that you could have a real relationship with God, that God wants to direct your life, give you purpose. When you put your faith in Jesus, he begins to direct your life. It may not always be obvious, it may not always be immediate, but Jesus wants to be leader and Lord of your life. And if you want to take that step today to begin following him, I'd love to lead you in a very simple prayer. We're going to pray together again, all of us, and this is your moment, your opportunity. So I want everyone to join me. Just open your heart up big to God. And if that's you today, you want to begin following Jesus right where you are, whisper out a prayer of faith. You can use my words if it helps you. You can use your own, but pray with faith from your heart, something like this: Jesus, today I believe in you. I believe you died to forgive my sins and that you're real. I turn my life over to you. From this day forward, you are Lord of my life. So lead my life. And if that's you, while everyone around you stays focused on God, if you would say, I want to be included in that prayer, I'm putting my faith in Jesus today, would you lift your hand and hold it up high, just boldly all over the room? Hold it up high. I'm putting my faith in Jesus, trusting him with my life. Yeah. Online, you can type the word faith in the comments, whatever platform you're on. And then would you help me? All of our locations, come on, let's give Jesus all the praise. Can we do that together?